You'll always have access to it online.
So, yesterday I went to a wedding, Tia's cousin's wedding. And I came back home at around 2 a.m. And I was like, oh my goodness. But on my way back, I had to drop Tia and her brother off in Toronto. So we're driving in, and you see all these big buildings. And Jared, that's Tia's brother's name, my brother-in-law. He says, doesn't this feel like home? When you see all these tall buildings. And I was like, that's very interesting. That reminded me of the Revelation passage. So I asked him, what exactly do you mean by home? And he said, you know, it's the place I come to rest. It's the place I come just to be. And then Tia added on, you know, it's the place I know where everyone lives. I know where things are. To put it a different way, you know, home for them was one, a place of rest, a place where they can put roots down in, and a place where they can build and find meaningful relationships. Elvis Presley has this famous song, Home is Where the Heart Is. And for them, home was where the heart is. And then he repeats this one line in the song, wherever you are is where home is. Wherever he finds this relationship with this lady he's singing about, that was home for him. And our Revelation passage tells us about God's home. So for clarity's sake, before I continue and I give you my three-point sermon title, which I normally do, I want to give you a word that I want to reuse over and over again. In verse 3, you'll see, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. A different translation says, see, God's home is now among his people, and he longs to dwell with us. And that word there is seke, which in English is translated to tabernacle. So to read it a different way, we'll say, look, God's tabernacle is now among his people, and he will tabernacle with them. Now, this word means to dwell with, rest in, or find home with. To put it all together, God's tabernacle is the home in which he rests and dwells among his people. So, I'll be using that word over and over again. My sermon points, my three sermon points today is the intended tabernacle. The Garden of Eden, and we'll explore how God made a home for us and what it looked like. My second point will be the Jesus tabernacle, and we'll see what kind of people God calls into his home, and most importantly, how and what he expects of those guests. And my third point will be the final tabernacle. This is the best part. We'll see where God is leading us and how we, the people of God, will participate in his final dwelling place. So, the intended tabernacle. When God created the whole world, he created humans last. You ever wonder why? Is it because this is the last thing he thought about? Actually, no. The Bible says humans and us, the people, were the very first things he thought about. And everything he thought of after was because of us. So let me give you an example to sort of illustrate this point. When I thought about moving, when I had my first thought of moving to Kingston, every thought I had about moving to Kingston thereafter was to prepare for my move to Kingston. So before I left, I had to prepare, I had to get a couch. I had to get a bed. I had to get a TV and I had to get a Keurig machine because I cannot live without my coffee. And these are all the things that I had to prepare for before I could go to the apartment. And that's how it was for God as well. He knew he wanted to create us, but everything he did before that was in preparation for us. He created the birds, the animals, the earth, the land, the sky, the waters, so that we could have a fully furnished home. And then he places us in the garden. And you have to think of it like a permanent lease. But why create us in the first place? We all have that question, don't we? The Bible says in Genesis 3 that God walked in the garden in the cool of day. God created home for us so that he could tabernacle with us, so that he could dwell with his creation in the home that he created for us. The purpose of creation, for the creation of human beings, was fellowship with God. But because we sinned, the Bible says, breaking that fellowship with God, we were asked to move out, to pack our things and get out. However, from that moment on, God promised to give us a rescue, a way back into a fellowship with him. And history from that point on reflects a God who deeply longs to be in tabernacle with his people. And one of the ways he does this, actually the way he does this before Jesus, was in and through temples. In the Old Testament, anywhere the Jews went, the first thing they would do is create a temple. And in the temple was the tabernacle. This was the physical dwelling place of God. If you think of the big Solomon temple that was created in 531 BC, it was holies, holy of holies, and the most holy. The holy of holies, most holy. Yeah, the three sections. In the very middle, that's the holy of holies, was the tabernacle. That was where God resided among his people. But ever since the creation of the temples, prophets had prophesied that one day God will not dwell in the temple, but he will dwell in his fullness with his people. And so my point to Jesus' tabernacle. Enter Jesus, prophecy fulfilled, the temple personified. And he comes back calling everybody to fellowship with him. He calls everyone back to home, back to the garden. But what kind of people does he call? It says he ate and drank with sinners, which basically means everyone except for those who thought they were better than everybody else, the self-righteous people. But those that he invited to tabernacle with him, he expected them to have a change in their lifestyle because of an encounter with him. When he called Zacchaeus into a relationship with him, he said, I need you to stop doing what you're doing and become somebody new. When he called Matthew to be a disciple, he said, stop being a tax collector, I want you to be a disciple. When he called Peter and John out as fishermen, he said, stop being fishermen, I want you now to be fishers of men. When he called the blind men on the way, he said, I need you to see. There's always a change because of an encounter with God. A transformation that allows us to be his disciple. One of the marks of our relationship with God is the knowledge that something in us is different because of Jesus. And he's called us to something more than ourselves. And he showed these people that he calls what it means to dwell with him, to tabernacle with him. He communed and he ate and he drank with them. He served them. He washed his feet. And finally, he said, nothing will separate you from me. He went to the cross and he died for them. He said, I will go through hell and back for you if you choose to be with me, to be in my tabernacle, to dwell with me. And my final point, the final tabernacle. Paul tells us that we are the temple. Our bodies are the temple of God. That means God tabernacles inside us. Remember I said that within the temple, the tabernacle was? If we are the temples, then God is within us, tabernacling in us. Paul says we have the mind of Christ because we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. However, in the past 2,000 years, since the time Jesus said that, we have put back into a building what God has taken out of the building. God has taken the tabernacle out of the Holy of Holies and put it in each and every one's heart. But we've taken all the tabernacles and assembled them up in church, saying, this is where you encounter God. This is where all the magic happens. But if we follow the rhetoric of Scripture and the understanding of God with us, then everyone should be encountering Jesus because of us, because he lives inside us. We are walking tabernacles. And to live our calling as the temple of God, we must be the people that others fellowship with God through. That was the intention of the garden and of Jesus. The garden was the place where people encountered God, and Jesus was the person through which people encountered God. That means now, as living temples, as living tabernacles, we are the walking, breathing, talking people that others have to encounter Jesus through. Kerry Boren Headington, an Anglican or Episcopalian evangelist, he's commissioned to be an evangelist by this church, writes this. This, meaning the tabernacle within us, is the high calling for us as followers of Jesus. In days past, people sought God at the Jerusalem temple. Today, they should meet God in us. We, the church, are the hands, feet, mouthpiece, and embodiment of God on earth. We are the vessels for God's Spirit to dwell, filling us with love and his presence. God is the greatest evangelist, but we, his people, are the vessels that carry the message and embodiment of reconciliation. We are the ambassadors who herald, this is the day of the Lord. Know this. We always invite people into what God is doing right now and what God is going to do in the future. And in the end, God is doing something spectacular when we look at the Revelation passage. But you might be wondering at this time, Noel, you just told me I have to go out and be the temple. How am I going to do it? Do we all say grace? Okay, well, before I go there, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? To actually speak about our faith. I struggle with it. To go and tell somebody, this is why I'm a Christian, and this is why I think you should also be a Christian. Has anyone done that before? Yes, I have one head nod. Everyone else is like, no, I don't think we have. Okay, I want to give you one simple tool to do so that you can proclaim Jesus. The temple proclaims that there's a God on earth. The tabernacle shouts, God is here. And as the tabernacles, we are to proclaim Jesus in this world. So I want to give you one tool, just one thing that I really hope you all do. Do we all say grace? It's okay if you don't. You are forgiven. Absolved. Okay. Here's the thing. The doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Doxology means worship. And it is a beautiful proclamation of who God is. If you know it, just say it with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise That's powerful. You are saying God exists, God is working, and everything belongs to God. What if you said that before a meal, no matter who's around, including friends, families, and those who might not believe in Jesus? That would make you a living proclamation of who God is and what this earth belongs to. It's simple. You could just say, can I say grace? And go right into the doxology. We can be the living temple, the embodiment of Christ in this world. And by doing this, we also point to what God is going to do in the future. And this is our Revelation passage. God declares that his original dream in creating this world will come to fulfillment. That all will be temple, and he will walk in the cool of day with us, like in the garden, in the future, in his fullness. So here's what it says from verse 3. See, the home of God, the tabernacle of God, is among his mortals. He will dwell with them. He will tabernacle with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. And I love this. Here's a world where God is fully realized. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. We point to what God is doing right now. We point to God, what God is going to do in the future. And when God comes and he dwells in all his fullness, as prophets have claimed for 4,000 years, all tears will be wiped away. Hope is restored, and we will walk with God in the cool of the garden. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you've tabernacled within us. We ask that you would give us the courage to live out what it means to be temple in this world, to allow others to fellowship with you through us. Lord, give us the courage to speak. Give us the words. Give us the ability. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.